As you probably know, the profession of medicine has seen many changes where it comes to growth of number of women in the profession. For example, in 1975, there were just over 35,000 female physicians in the United States. By 2012, the number increased sixfold to over 328,000. And right now, between like 2013 and 2014, when it comes to medical students, almost half, statistics say about 47.5% of medical students that year graduating, 47% of them were women. So it seems that we have reached equality when it comes to men and women in medicine. However, it's not that way at all. So once women graduate medical school, the percentages, important percentages, they drop off like off a cliff. So, for example, we specialize. Everybody who graduates medical school gets an MD degree, but that's not enough. We really cannot practice medicine. So there are many different specialties that physicians go into, and you can go into medical specialties, into surgical specialties. You can, for example, go into internal medicine, you can go into surgery, or you can go into subspecialty. So the percentages of women in highly competitive specialties and predominantly historically male-dominated specialties are miserable. I'll give you a couple examples. For example, orthopedic surgery, 5.6% of women, this is as of, I think, 2010 or 2012, were women, 5.6%. Urology, which is a surgical subspecialty, 8.7%. Vascular surgery, 12%. ENT, you know, oral laryngology, 17%. General surgery, 21%. Anesthesiology, 25%. And it keeps going on and on. When it comes to salaries, I was actually shocked to learn recently that there is a huge discrepancy when it comes to how much women physicians make and how much men physicians make. So I'll give you a couple of studies. There is a JAMA internal medicine study in 2012 reported that the average male physician earned $221,000, and this is the average between 2006 and 2010. The average female physician during that exact time was only $165,000. Okay. There's another study that came out. It's Medscape Physician Compensation Report in 2012. It showed 40% disparity among average male and female physician earnings, with men on average earning $242,000. With women earning $173,000, and it just goes on and on. Another disparaging percentage is how many women achieve positions such as chairs of department, deans of medical schools, and CEO of major hospitals. We have 150. Medical schools in the United States, only 13% of those have deans that are women. This is as of, I think, 2013. And those, not only that, those schools, they're rated less on a lower level because they don't get as high NIH rating. So obviously we have a big disparity when it comes to success of men in medicine and success of women. So basically, AMA actually took a lead on that, to correct that. And they, in 2013, they established a women physician section. Now, that was a very important step because as a section, women have a vote. So the vote goes to the House of Delegates, and that vote and the ability to speak at the House of Delegates can influence the AMA policy. Very important, great step. However, the problem is that only about 20% of all physicians in the United States are members of AMA. It's very sad, but that's how it is. So most of women physicians will not be able to benefit from that section. So I decided to do something about it, and I always think big. I wanted to create a network for women physicians that will encompass the whole United States. But of course, first of all, I have to find somebody who would support me financially and otherwise. And we have to start small. I am a member of University of Buffalo Medical Alumni Association. Actually, I'm a vice president, and I will be president in May, starting in May. So I approached the leadership and talked about creating this network. It was very well received. We approached the dean of the medical school, which is Dr. Michael Kane. He was 100% behind us, and that's how the concept and the network was born. So we started with about 40 female physicians, all ages, medical students, young physicians, midlife, close to retirement, and we brainstormed and we developed this network. We called it UB because it's sponsored by the University of Buffalo, DocHers. So it's doctors with HERS in the title. And, you know, and now we also have a logo, so we're very, very happy about that. Our mission, the mission of UB Doctors, is to build a strong network of female leaders to empower, educate, and address current issues in the medical and scientific professions, and to foster advancement, collaboration, leadership, equal opportunities, mentorship, and support for future generations of women in medicine and science. And basically, what this network will do, it will enable members to educate and support each other in many areas, such as, for example, contract negotiations, provide resources for physicians when they are deciding whether to go in a private practice or academic medicine, because it's a big decision and it's very different, whether to be in a hospital-based setting or whether to be in an outpatient setting, how to advance within your department. Let's say you have leadership potential and you would like to be a chair of your department. Well, you need to have tools for that, so we'll be able to provide those tools. If you would like to be a part of organized medicine and keep advancing, for example, this year I am a president of New York State Society of Anesthesiologists. I'm only a sixth woman anesthesiologist, physician anesthesiologist, from 45 to be elected president. So, you know, we still have a lot of work to do. So this is what this network will provide, a resource, mentorship, and guidance to younger female physicians.